of things have been said, a lot of discussions. Panels decarbonizing, panels carbonizing. I think everybody is a lot of tired, but now in this panel, you know, you will be rewarded because we will speak about the next stage of shipping. So what the fellow panelists will tell you will not be just general ideas or concepts, but will be real cases. Probably it would be good for you to listen and have the chance to implement in your companies. You know, we have a tsunami. I read the other day, and I was thinking, really, is a tsunami of regulations coming into force in the next years regarding environment. And still, I'm not sure whether the environment is getting benefit out of it for the time being, but hopefully will. And in order to achieve this, we have to move on. And many already speak that probably by 2030 we will not be ready if we continue moving the way we do up to now, but we have to be optimistic and we have to use any tools. I heard before Theobald Adjei saying that he could speak for hours on the ESG. Energy-saving devices that they have employed on their company vessels and fleets, because we have a new existing vessels that are to be improved in operation. So, and all this has to be done safely. Don't forget that shipping is a business in which we carry products, 90% of the world products, so is the backbone of our society and development, and should be done in a harsh environment as a sea environment, so should be done safely. That's very important. It's not, and shipping companies and all stakeholders of shipping has been well following these principles. This is the reason that we are today here and talking about these concepts. So I would like to thank Nikos and Olga Bornozis for this invitation to moderate this distinguished panelists today. I'm Spiros Zolotas from RINA, and I would like to present them. Who is with me today is Captain Pankaj Sharma, who is the Group Director, Digital Performance Optimization for Columbia. We have Dimitris Vastarouhas, Deputy COO of Danaos Corporation, Michael Malaros, General Manager of Euronav Ship Management, and Jarden Gross, CEO and co-founder of Orca AI. Because today we're going to speak, this panel in the next, 36 minutes, we are going to talk about solutions, digitalization, and other ideas that are already available. We are not going to talk about science fiction. So I would like to have a first round of questions, and since we have three very, very big group of companies representing a lot of vessels, different approaches to them, and I would like to have a common question for Pankaj, for then Dimitris and Michael. So we are living a huge transformation, Pankaj. We have discussed, we are discussing all day and in our various panels, many challenges, but also opportunities. Don't forget new regulations, geopolitical instability, cyber threats. A lot of things are happening today around us. How does Columbia get prepared for the challenges, solutions and strategies? Tell us all the truth.
Thank you, Spiridon. So at Columbia, we're looking at digital transformation as a means of preparing for the future. We all know that the whole industry is going through a transformation in digital technologies. It has been driven because of some recent events. So like COVID was one event which moved a lot of companies towards embracing new technologies. Similarly, the advent of onboard connectivity and now Starlink has also led to a new era of applications that can be installed on board. And also, as we were talking in the last panel, regulatory frameworks are changing, and we are required to share more data in more real time and with more transparency. So this being said, we have to be prepared for the future. We cannot do the business the way we were doing before. And at Columbia, what we are looking at, we are looking at the right partners to the right things with them. And Columbia, we also follow the three Ps when we look at technologies. So the three Ps that we follow are the people, the process, and the platform. Every technology, every transformation, every change that we are applying in Columbia goes through this test of three Ps. So is the technology, is the transformation relevant for the people working at Columbia? Is it relevant how the processes are defined? And is the platform capable for the future? A lot of technologies that shipping is presently using is actually at the end of its life. Even big companies like Microsoft, they've pulled their support for it, and yet shipping is still using it. So there needs to be a change. We need to move to newer technologies. That being said, so what is the next technology, or where should we go? We should take inspiration from what's happening around us, from aviation, from other industries. And looking at the frameworks which has been set up for EU ETS or CII requires that we have better data exchange and more reliable. So overall, what we have done is we've looked at the industry experts or the technology experts, and we have partnered with them, and I can give some examples later on how our partnership is going on, and we are creating the technologies for the future of shipping and the future of Columbia. Thank you.
Thank you, Pankaj. So is, we see how Columbia is facing this with some cooperations that you probably have the chance to explain to us later. I would like to go to Dimitris Danaos. I know that you are having a little bit of different approach, but with the same scope. Can you please tell us, Dimitris?
Good afternoon, everybody. Before starting presenting and sharing with you our path towards digital transformation, I'd like to repeat the question, why technology, digitalization, artificial intelligence in the traditional shipping. We believe that these are the tools to adapt, to improve, to optimize, to communicate. We're entering a very challenging era. It has been mentioned many times today, and we have to be ready to cope with new needs, regulations, and challenges. In Danaos, we could say that we have a digital DNA. I am in the company 29 years, and when I joined the company, we were already, let's say, equipped with special software, which was prepared by our affiliated company, Danaos Management Consultants. In 2008, we saw the first signals of transformation of shipping in general. We saw that we had to recall our priorities and see how we can improve performance, how we can improve the internal structures. So in Danaos, we decided to follow the self-development path. There are two paths, actually. You either can develop internally the company and the structure, or to rely on external assistance. We preferred the first. Back in 2011, we established R&D department. That was a very, let's say, pioneering movement that time for a Greek shipping company. But looking ahead and considering that it will be quite difficult to cope with all this new technology development, we realized that was the first necessary step to do so. And then, of course, we applied the Internet of Things back in 2012. And data integrity was one of our major concerns the first couple of years. The data loss ratio had to be corrected. The satellite communication had to be, let's say, more suitable for such kind of actions. Later on, we realized that new regulations are coming, and looking only the data collection from ships was not enough. We had to digitalize all companies' processes. That was proved in practice during COVID, that we saw the impact that remote operations had to all of the companies. So digitalization is not only performance improvement, it's a totally different change in the structure of a company. Later on, we decided to commit the company in the full digitalization of the company by the end of 2024. This is our running project, one of our major projects in the company. But soon, we realized that although we managed to develop systems, although we managed to handle a huge amount of data, still something remains there. Something is pending, and that is the proper interpretation and the taking of advantage of all this knowledge, of all this data which are collected day by day. It is very difficult to handle all of them. We are not ready, so we need something new. We need also to plot new paths. And here is where artificial intelligence is coming. it is necessary to find tools to help us. Consider that for one ship per day, 80 routines are running automatically. If you have, for example, 100 vessels, we are talking about how many? 8,000 routines per day. Who will do this? So we need tools. Either tools that will be developed within the company if there is the structure, or to be provided by external sources. And last but not least, it is not enough even this. We need also artificial intelligence assistance, like ChatGPT or equivalent. In Danaos, we are running now the project in two directions. One is to apply our own ChatGPT on board vessels to facilitate our seafarers that they are bombed with too much information, too many new things, too many procedures in such short time. And at the same time, we need also fast recall of data and even in the head office, even in the R&D department, which are the experts, we need to apply artificial intelligence assistance also ashore. Thank you.
Thank you, Dimitri. Very clear the path that you explained to us of how your company evolved in that direction of digital. Same question for Michael. What about Euronav on that respect?
Thank you, Spiros. Good evening, everyone. Good afternoon. I will agree with my co-speakers, and I'm not going to waste any more time to tell you about how crucial it is to move on with digital transformation. What I would like to highlight is that indeed data is a treasure today, and a benefit that I would like to complement to what Dimitris said is that for first time these tools today can give us and create a common understanding between all the stakeholders. It's there, it's clear to everyone, there are no anything to debate about, so creating a clear understanding, and it gives, let's say, a common approach on how we're going to deal with what we have to do. In Euronav, quite 5 years ago, I would say, we took a bold decision to invest to an in-house platform. Today, we can harvest, I would say, a lot of the benefits. So more than 500 signals collected, and at first, it was just to monitor, to see, to understand what is going on. Today, we move from there to take decisions based on data that we are collecting, and furthermore, to be able to optimize the full chain. I'm talking with few examples, not only for trivial tasks like collecting noon report, which I'm pretty sure that those that they work on the operations, they will understand how crucial it is to have clean data from the noon report, but as well as to the entire other optimization processes. And I'm talking about monitoring equipment and get decisions how to optimize further the operation of the equipment and expanding the cycle to voyage efficiency tools and port call optimization tools. Again, for us also, we are not there because as you move on, the appetite becoming stronger and stronger when you see what are the benefits of digitalizing and using all this. Just to give you also some, to illustrate with some examples, we were able today to optimize the full cycle of a voyage by monitoring all the machinery and even those that we couldn't believe that they could have such importance to a cycle of the voyage. Like, for example, the adjustments of the autopilot. Recently, we had a case where we managed to adjust the settings of the autopilot and get very beneficial results. So I would like, again, to highlight that for us in Euronav, digitalization is a journey and exactly as decarbonization, and we think that those two goes hand by hand, so there is a clear strategy how we are going to move on, what will be the priorities, and what decisions we're going to get based on this, because moving on with all this analysis of the data, nowadays we can target the projects that we need to run to optimize further the full cycle. And again, I would like to highlight before I close that this creates a better understanding and collaboration between the entire stakeholders. The vessel, the shore, which is a shift of mindset, how we are going to collaborate and work and bridge any gaps, but as well as with the charterers, with the class, with all the stakeholders across. Thank you.
Very clear. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. I would like to ask both three of you mentioned points that I would like, but we need to move on because the clock is ticking. And I have Yarden, which on the other hand is representing a very highly sophisticated technology company. He's a real person that he will speak to you. He's not an avatar. He's not an artificial intelligence creature. So please, Yarden, what can you do for this gentleman here or the others on the floor?
Hi, everyone. So first of all, let me a little bit give background. Orca AI is a tech company, a fast-growing tech company, what you can call actually a startup. It was founded in Tel Aviv, but now we're operating in a global scale. And some of our customers are actually sitting here in the room. Actually, based on the noises, maybe some of them are actually outside. But what we see, you know, in the industry, if you zoom out for a second, we see growing operational challenges on the safety level, on crewing level. We see operational challenges, of course, what we talked today, you know, on emissions, on increasing in fuel costs. And from the other side, you see technology, a new enabler, which is a connectivity. Ships are becoming more connected to the cloud, which is actually reducing the cost to implement new technology on board. And when we see that there is a real opportunity to seize that and utilize it to actually deploy technology on board and start solving a lot of the critical problems you have and a lot of the challenges you have today when operating a ship and the entire fleet. So Orca today is providing a platform that is consisting of hardware, software, and AI. It's serving two types of users. It's serving the crew on board, where we're deploying a set of cameras, we call it a C-pod, with very robust algorithms, AI algorithms in the background. And basically, it enables to operate as an automatic watchkeeper. And it enables to detect targets, optimizing the risk, and provide the crew on board information so they can take preventive actions. So it's basically empowering the crew on board with AI. It's reducing their workload, as it's increasing their efficiency and their ability to take preventive actions and increasing the safety of the vessel. But then, throughout the voyage, what we also do, we're also collecting the data, and then throughout connectivity, we are sending the data to the cloud, and then providing fleet managers visual visibility through the cameras to the operations of the ships and the entire fleet. So basically what you get crew on board that are operating with a certain tool that is connected to the fleet managers in the office, which provides the office with full visibility to the operations. For example, let's say a vessel is sailing in heavy water, weather, and it's starting to pitch and roll in a pretty, let's say, aggressive manner. Orca will show the information in real time, visual information, will send the pitch and the roll information to the office. So the fleet managers in the office will be understand exactly what is happening now on the vessel. It will know if now it's creating risk to the cargo, for example, if it's creating risk to the hull. And then they will be able also to get access to the cameras. So based on that, we're actually connecting the operation and enabling the office and the crews to work side by side on the same type of a platform. We're starting to see some tangible results with our customers. This is what is exciting me most. Eventually, you're building great technology, but you wanted to see tangible results on your customers. So we see increase in performance, we see increase in operational efficiency, we see decline in safety events. We have certain customers that we reduce their near misses, close encounter events by 55%. This is pretty immense. So, you know, very excited to be in the industry, to see how it's going forward now in a conservative industry that is starting to adopt new technology, starting to adopt AI, and it's because of few drivers, one side connectivity, other side increase in operational costs.
Yarden, thank you. I was really impressed talking to, of course, being a classification society guy, I am first of all attracted by the fact of safety and of navigation, avoiding collisions. But talking to you, I have seen that all these unnecessary maneuvering that can be done if you want to avoid any collision possible or any threat in front of you could be also useful for the decarbonization that everybody's talking, improving your unnecessary burning of fuel. Then, of course, can come your charter saying to speed up and probably everything will be blown up. But anyway, you contribute positively to this equation.
Yes, so? We actually did a study on that. And what we saw is that crew behavior is really impacting the performance, the fuel consumptions, and how the ship is actually polluting and the emissions. And we saw that it's a lot based on how they're taking preventive actions and what type of preventive actions they are taking in certain places in the world. So we took similar voyages that ships did over the world. And then we compared that and we saw that there is a high differentiation between certain ships on performance and safety levels. And the real impact on the real driver for that was crew performance. How quickly they took maneuvers, how early they took early actions, how severe were the changes for the fuel consumption, or for the speed and for the course, so how drastically they changed the course. So when you see that the crew is operating the vessels in a better way, in a safer way, we actually see high correlation to emissions. So this is from a study we did on data, on real data that we've been collecting.
Great, thank you, Yarden. I would like to ask you a little bit more on the human element if we have the time. But I would like to jump to Dimitri, who mentioned as well AI in the processes of what they have developed in Danaos. Do you believe that, for example, we have seen what Yarden said about this solution that is based on AI. Would this be helpful to your day-to-day operation, your relationships with your clients, charterers, or other stakeholders around you, these kind of tools?
This is the interesting point now. First of all, digitalization is not a panacea. It has pros and cons, and we have to work very hard to correct the disadvantages and the problems that are coming with this new idea, at that same time to take full advantage from the pros that they have to offer. We enter the era of we, not I. And why I'm telling this is something that I used to repeat and mention in every forum. It is the time that we need to cooperate. We need to be transparent. Transparency, actually, is a necessity. Financial disclosures for shareholders and stakeholders, emissions to the regulator bodies. Now we have ETS and all these stories. But transparency itself is not enough. It is a necessity, but it is not enough. We need also collaboration. And here is where the new technology and artificial intelligence can take place. Simple examples. It is meaningless simply to release data to our clients and to our stakeholders. We are doing this. We are transparent and we have to be transparent. But without further collaboration on this data, we cannot have positive results. We have to sit down and work together to improve the whole trading of the ships. This is very important. We need to exchange views. We need to run models, scenarios, not steady scenarios, but dynamic ones, using methods like Monte Carlo, for example, which is also required by CSA disclosures. I mean that we need to cover all the fields and together to decide how to change speeds, how to optimize ships, how to make the proper investments. And last but not least, we have to work also on the performance. Everybody is talking about energy efficiency improvement methods. This is a non-story. For us, this is second, because number one is to prevent unnecessary power demand development. And for this point, you need technology. For example, a heavily fouled vessel might increase the power penalty 20, 30, 40%. What to do with 5% of savings of an appendage of a bulbous bow if you do not take actions on time? In order to take actions on time, you need the technology, you need the analysis, you need the artificial intelligence to tell you how to move fast. But as I said at the beginning, I would like to close this because time is too short. We have also difficulties. Technology runs faster than human beings. It means that we need to find experts in very short time, but they are not available. And who will train them? So this is a very big challenge. And then for smaller companies that they need external assistance, what to select? There is a solutions, allow me the expression, anarchy out there in the market with so many solutions. Some of them are really good, some others not. Who will take the decision? So what I have to take to tell you as a conclusion is that we believe that within the companies, either with the self-developed companies or companies which are based, rely on external assistance, we need to develop teams and people, either computer scientists with marine engineering sense or mariners and engineers with the IT, let's say, orientation. And this is very important. In order to do this, you have to create agile teams within the company to combine the experience with these people, the older generation with the new one, and bridge the gap of the generation. Thank you.
Dimitri, thank you for touching this. Also, the subject of as humans in respect to all these kind of tools and how this is blending to our everyday life and operations. And this will bring me to a question, the same question to Michael. And I would like to say that, you know, these are tools, as other tools that we have, but of course humans are the ones that make the difference. It is a business for human beings, which is in this hall today, and done by appropriate tools. What are the challenges on board and ashore that you see, and we have listened a couple of them before by Dimitri. Would you think that we are ready to adopt all these tools, these technologies? We need to do something more?
Spiros, I'm glad because I see that most of us, if not all, I could dare to say, we are a bit aligned to what it is necessary to be done. And I'm pretty in a very pleasant situation to listen again and again words like cooperation, collaboration, etc. And there are real values that we have to build on in order to be able to make sure that the human resources, they will be able to adapt, because indeed now we are facing these challenges. And I believe it is fair to say that it is challenges for the entire industry. I think Dimitri set it up very correctly, both on shore and on board. On board, I would say we have even more major challenges, because we know the diversification of the resources on board a vessel, including whatever this could mean, you know, the different, let's say, qualities of the crew, etc. So, I think there are a lot of discussions around it, and we need, again, to work collectively. It's not a matter of a shipping company, the way that they will train the people. It's not enough anymore, nor a course that it will be based on a model, but that will not be available and affordable. I think these two things has to be clear in mind of the entire value chain stakeholders. The training to the people has to be affordable and available. Available to anyone, and in a way that it will not impose to them burden to take it. We have to boost it, we have to make it clear to everyone, and we have to make it happening yesterday. I think we are already a bit behind it, and I would like to give an example for us, what we do anticipate and where we go, we are going to go and increase our collaboration with manufacturers, etc., is for those that in their service and in their products, they will include the training as a standard. It will not be something that it will have to be a burden to the people. It has to be part of the service that they are providing. And I think in this way, of course, we are not going to stop to reinforce this and to reskill and upskill continuously the human labor. However, we should not be alone in this journey.
It's clear, and thank you for that, that shipping cannot do everything by itself. All the other around should be providing training or whatever. But pops up a question to me, and now that you were talking, do you think we transfer a lot? Decisions, critical decisions, have been always taken ashore, let's say, for certain things, but when the difficult moment comes, it is the master and the crew on board who take certain decisions. Do you think that all these systems tend to have a risk of transferring critical decisions of this kind? You have been on board, you know the life there ashore, and creating some kind of confusion of who is responsible for what. You were not prepared for this question, but you were so nice to what you presented that popped up of my mind. You would like Dimitri to take it?
Spiros, I'm pretty sure that you said now, you open now another important aspect, the aspect of liability. And I think this is also the next framework that we will have to examine. It's not something that we have to move on all other aspects and leave it at untouchable. I know that it takes long time, you know, when you have to discuss and bring also the legal framework behind this updated, but still we have to work on this as well. I think you set a very valid question, and indeed, at first, I do believe that the primary aim of the shore should be to increase the support to the vessel and bridge this gap, again with having the same understanding, having the same picture as on board, using the tools to provide more support to the vessel, but until we reach to a point that the liability will be shared, then we have to make this differentiation and be fair with those that they do have the liability on their shoulders.
There is a gap, yes, thank you. I go to another subject, because this will be probably an idea for Olga and Nikos to create another panel dedicated to the legal aspects of technology and all these kind of things. But we have touched the tools, we have seen ideas, what shipping can do, companies can do aboard, on board, ashore. Is this enough? I would like, as a last question, if we have, yes, we still have 5 minutes, to go to Pankaj, do you think that shipping and decarbonization of our planet is, let's say, based on what we do? Are we fragmented in a way in our actions and adapted solutions?
So the short answer is yes, we are very fragmented. But why are we like this? So the typical question once we start looking at technology or new product or a change in regulatory framework like decarbonization right now, is the first question is, should I build it on my own or should I rent it? So should I be trying to make this application or this module on my own? I have 200 ships or 300 ships and I can sustain it. Or should I do not have the economies of scale, so who's the best service provider who can give it to me? But there's also a third approach, which we at Columbia use it very often, which is the partner approach. So we have the scale and we have the processes and we know what the requirement is, but we don't want to be the technology specialist who's coming from that background. So we partner with those specialists and we partner and we build together. And that gives us a much better way of dealing with the fragmentation issues, especially in technologies. So to give an example, if we can learn from aviation and we can partner with an aviation company to make a digital product for shipping, we will do that. Aviation is ahead of us in the digitalization curve, also in the decarbonization curve, and there's lots to learn from there. Similarly, digital footprints. The moment we wake up, we pick up our phones and we start creating a digital footprint. But do our seafarers create digital footprints the same way? No. We are very unstructured in creating digital footprints on board. We're still reliant on Excel sheets. We're doing a scavenge space inspection, and it is done through taking pictures, through Excel sheets. The report is put together and sent ashore, but you cannot compare this scavenge inspection with the previous one. Why? Because it's done in an unstructured manner, and there's not a proper digital footprint. So same thing for decarbonization. We can have many different applications or technologies or alternative fuels, but if it is being done in an unstructured manner and we're not able to connect the two, or we're not able to integrate the applications, we will have results with smaller impacts and not really getting the gains of efficiency is what shipping is capable of. And finally, I would like to also emphasize on the question of seafarers, what was picked up earlier. So we all like to talk about innovation, but there are very few companies which take innovation very seriously. One such company that we are engaging with is called OneLink Performance Solutions. When CII came out, we realized that all the industry focus was towards explaining what carbon emissions is to the people ashore, to the technical department, to the environment department. But who was telling the seafarers what is CII and what they can do for CII? So we partnered with OneLink Performance. We gave them the use case that we want to train our seafarers on CII in such a way that they feel, and it's very immersive. And they came back with a virtual reality game for CII, where the seafarer could wear a headset and then be on board and do certain tasks on board, and that would show his CII score according to what decisions he's made. And this is a very innovative approach. We were able to then migrate it into our learning management system, and now it's being given to all the seafarers in Colombia, where they can do this immersive training using the advantage of technology, and in this case, virtual reality. So innovation also matters when we are talking about digital technologies.
Great. Thank you, Pankaj, and thank you all. I think the time is almost up. What I got from your thoughts, all four of you, is that we have tools, we have ways to solve the challenges of every day, especially decarbonization and others. And we can do it in a safe way, we can do it in a sustainable way. We have a lot of things down the way to solve, liability issues, training that is to be done yesterday, and other things, but I think it's a big challenge that we can face in a positive way. So thanks everybody for attending this panel. It has been a pleasure to moderate these four great panelists and personalities who are leading our industry. So their ideas, I think, have been very useful. Round of applause for them, and thank you.